We are, our text for today is three or four verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 7. So, as is our custom, if you're physically able, would you stand?
Recording in progress.
And let's honor God while I read these few verses in your hearing. And then we'll see if we can unpack them and understand what God would have us to understand about them today, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. It reads, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." And then chapter 7, verses 23 and 24. "You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. So brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God." Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for every act of kindness and goodness in our life. I thank you for the wonderful, wonderful peace that we've come to know when you brought us into sweet relationship with you in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the assurance and confidence that we have in this life to know that you'll never leave us, you'll never desert us, and just the idea that our God loves us motivates us day by day by day. Holy Spirit, we call upon you now. Meet us in the scriptures. Guide us into truth. And may it be for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you. You may be seated. Our subject for today, then, I don't know, Brother Darn, we got through the technical problems last week, but it's... There it is. Our subject for today is simply, "You were bought with a price." You were bought with a price. And as you think about it, every generation of people is striving for freedom, right? Everybody wants to be free. And, you know, we're no exception. We understand the struggle for freedom. And a basic definition of freedom, though, is this. It means the power or the right to think, speak, or act without hindrance or restraint. Now, you think about that for a minute. People want to live without restraint on their lives, you see. And so we have to be careful, even though we package the same word, we carry the same words around as Christians, but the definitions that we pour into freedom is different than the definition of the world, you see. People want racial freedom, and they want gender freedom. They want freedom to, at any age, to do what they want to. People want freedom in the employment arena. They want freedom to communicate with whomever they want to. And so people are striving for freedom. People protest for freedom. They pass laws for freedom. They sacrifice for freedom. People suffer for freedom. They fight and they die for freedom. You all know this. We've lived through it. We've lived through it. And you see, people feel that education and money, power and influence gives them freedom. And I'm asking you all to think with me now about what this world is pursuing when they say freedom. So when we come to our text here, it's the same thing. It was the wealthy and the elite Corinthians that felt free from God's restraint. And this is a real issue. Not just in the first century. Today, people want to be free from God's restraint. That's the reason they will tell you that's your truth. And I need to live by my truth. Why? Because I don't want to be restrained. And so, in the first century, you got your Bible there. Look at chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Yeah? So you see, you think you're going to live without God's restraint, but don't be deceived. You won't get into the kingdom of God by living the way you want to live. Now we know that. But part of my job is to remind us of all we already know. So that as you live, and this bullying comes at you for people who think they've got it all together, you can understand that they don't understand what real freedom is. They don't understand. See how they said it there? Look at verse 12. This is what they said in Corinth. All things are lawful for me, but Paul argues, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything, you see? The Christian knows that I'm free, but I'm not free to just do what I want to. You get it? All things are not helpful just because I'm free. Now see, the beauty here is that many of these Corinthians were saved out of this lifestyle. Isn't that wonderful? Because this is where you were. That's where I was. That's the reason there's hope for those who are coming at us with such vigor and such anger and aggressiveness. You see verse 11? And such were some of you. Oh my, isn't this a wonderful verse? But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Oh yeah. Yeah. So we don't look with people with judgmental eyes. But you have to be prepared to stand when you know you're going to face these kind of things. This is real. This is real Christian living we're talking about here. Not just in the first century. We're dealing with this right now. Amen. Right now. Now, the other thing that happened here is, are we having problems, Darn?
Yeah, computer went dead, it wasn't plugged up.
Okay. Well, Darren's getting things set up back there for those of you who are on. Did we drop the people on Zoom? Okay. So for the other thing that was happening here in Corinth is that there was a gluttony and sexual immorality. Okay? Gluttony and sexual immorality was a problem. You see verse 13. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. Look at the next sentence. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Amen. And so, gluttony and sexual immorality were problems at Corinth. And not just at Corinth, there are problems what? Today. And so I wanted you to get that little background before we now come to our text. You all ready to go? It's not going to be long, but I'm trying to stay relevant as we think about these issues. So let's look at this is the way we're going to unpack these things. In the first two verses, we want to see that we are to glorify God in our body. Okay? And then in the second two verses, we are to glorify God in our calling. Okay? That's all. That's all I want you to see, and we'll be done for today. All right? So, let's go. As we go back to 1 Corinthians 6, then and think about glorifying God in our body, we are told that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You got that? Look at verse 19. Paul does it in a rhetorical question. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? Wow. That's amazing. Let's think about it a minute. Now, from the Old Testament, you know that the temple was a place where God made where his presence was known, right? And where he what? Met with his people in the temple. And so you have to keep this imagery in mind when you think what we're being told here. That imagery now is being brought forth so that we realize that we're no longer under the old covenant. I mean, it's wonderful to have a building where we come together. But God's saying, I brought you along to understand that imagery from the Old Testament now has changed. You now are the temple. Right? You now are the temple where God dwells. And you remember what Jesus did as he was interacting with the Samaritan woman at the well. Y'all remember that back in John 4, I think it was? When she came there and she was saying to Jesus, we worship in this mountain, and you Jews, you all worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, no. That's all changing now. You don't even know what you worship. But the time is coming. And now is when neither in this mountain or in Jerusalem or any other place will you have to go to worship God. Because what? God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship what? In spirit and in truth. And so, you see the movement already is to help us understand how we can be the temple. Now, back in chapter 3 and verse 16, the church collectively is called God's temple. I think we're stuck again, Lauren. The church is collectively called God's temple. And that's true. As a collective body of people, Jesus said what? For two or three are come together, what? In my name, I'm what? I'm there. I'm in your midst. But now, when we come to our subject matter today, we're looking at a different issue. You look at your verse again, and he says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple?" The Greek word is a naos. Phonetically, it'd be spelled naos, naos. And it's but here is singular, right? It's singular, and that's important. You know, the Greek is a precise language. And so, as a singular noun, this word naos means a sacred shrine or a sanctuary where a deity dwells. A sacred noun, or I'm still stuck, Brother Darn. Is it, are we having problems still? Oh, there you go. As a single noun, this means that what? Each believer, you see, is a temple. Not just us collectively, but each believer is a temple where the Holy Spirit dwells. Now, you know, preachers used to say this all the time, and I didn't understand it. But I do want to say, we got to pray now, because you can see. I know the devil doesn't want us to get through this, and I don't look for the devil under everything. But I know that we're up against an enemy here. And in our little congregation, we're just not going to cave in. We the Bible says we are more than conquerors, and we're going to keep on pressing. And so I thank God that Brother Darren, as he continues to press on as we have issues, and that you all are patient, because what God has for us, the devil can't take it away. Amen. He can't take it away. And I just got this is just a word that he gave me, and I want to get it to you. And so y'all pray that I can make it through. Amen. And that we can make it through together, all right? We don't take it lightly. I've learned over this journey for the past few three or four months that I don't take any day lightly now. Every day is a day of thanksgiving. Every day is a day where we look to God to help us win the victory, yes? And so that's what we're hoping today, is that we just have the victory, all right? So let's just press on together. The point is this. God is present wherever you go and whatever you do. And this is really important. This is really important. I know I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but it's something you need to remember. Remember that what? He's there. He's there when it doesn't feel like he's there. He's there when it's just hard and ugly and you're disappointed. He's there. He's there when you're being tempted and when you fail and when you don't do what you know you should have done. He's still what? He's there. He's there. Why? Because wherever you go, you can't, you're never, and David says, where could I flee? Even David knew, back in the Old Testament, if I make my bed here, or fly away to the remotest parts of the mountain, even there, you're with me. Your right hand holds me, right? And so, this is the thing, is that we want to be keenly aware that because our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, He's with us wherever we go. Follow me on this. Because of that, then he moves right to the next point. Because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, you need to know that you were bought with a price. This didn't just happen. This didn't just happen. You didn't just become a temple of the Holy Spirit by some decision you made, by some card you signed, by some prayer you prayed. No. You were bought. This is wonderful.
Yes, Lord.
This is wonderful.
Amen.
You were bought with a price. Now, you know, this is all against the backdrop now of people wanting to be free. Yeah. Everybody wants to be free, but God comes to his people and say, you've been bought. Oh, my, this is wonderful. You watch some of the awful atrocities that happened in our own history here in America, when you watch how slave trading took place, and you watch how they would line up, you all know the story, line up all of the slaves there that were for auction, that were available to be. And what did these wealthy people do? They came up and what? They bought the ones that they wanted, and they became the owners. And so they understood this in the first century. You and I understand this. You see, the world has put in our mind that that's a negative thing. But God is saying to you, no, this is a beautiful thing, to know you've been bought with a price. This is a wonderful thing. This is a glorious thing. That's how your body can be the temple of the Holy Spirit, because you've been bought. You've been paid for. Oh! Isn't this wonderful?
Amen.
When Jesus said it's finished, it was finished. Y'all get it. You're getting it already. Since God is present with us at all times and places, we must conduct our lives like we're living in His presence. Yeah? Like we're living in His presence. I've been bought with a price. God is in me. So I need to live like He's with me wherever I go. You get what I'm saying here? Not like I can do what I want to do, say what I want to say. You see? That's the American mindset. That's the reason we want a good education and a good job so we're free. Now, I'm not against any kind of education or a good job, but you know that for the Christian, that's not the definition of freedom. Hallelujah. We cannot live without restraint. Or if you will, we can't live by our own desires, because individually, you and I were bought with a what? A price.
Amen.
You see, is that wealthy person was there to buy slaves on the block. They wanted to make sure they inspect each slave, what? Individually. Yeah, because they wanted to make sure they were getting what? Getting a good product. But you and I know there was nothing good in us. Yeah? While we were yet sinners, God bought us. There's none righteous. No, not one. It wasn't because we were so strong. It wasn't because we were so wise. Right? Yeah. So, we want to be thankful that we were bought. So we must use our bodies individually in ways that glorify God. I'm taking a little longer than I thought here, but I want to make sure you get this. You see? Use our bodies in ways that, what? Individually glorify God. Paul in Romans 12 said, I appeal to you, brothers, present your bodies as a what? Living sacrifice. Amen. Yeah? Jesus said, let your light shine before men, before people, so that they could what? See your good works and do what? Glorify God.
Hallelujah.
So that's the deal. That's really all I want to say here. Glorify God in your body, because your body is a temple where the Holy Spirit dwells, and you've been bought with a price. Hallelujah. All right. Second thing is to glorify God in your calling. Now, you might not have thought about this one, but I want to just work through it real quick, okay? Can you go to the second passage there in chapter 7? Of course, now, those of you familiar with this passage know that Paul is talking about relationships here, right? Primarily relationships and marriage and, you know, singleness and that kind of thing. But here is where I see, these are the two places that we find he uses this phrase, bought with a price. And so, and when we think about this, we need to live our life where God has called us. Now let's think about that. Live your life where God has called you. In the first century, people were classified racially and socially by their calling. Now you got to follow me here. They were classified racially and socially by their calling, or another word is status. You see, calling is the same as status. That's how they were classified. So Paul instructs believers to live where God called you. What status were you born into? People don't like their race anymore. And so they try to deny it. You know, we talked about that a few weeks ago. You remember that with the Imitation of Life, where the daughter just wanted to deny her race and her heritage. And so many other issues where people are faking it nowadays. They can't be content with where they are. And Brother Lee mentioned that in the offering today. This is a major issue in our society. A lack of contentment. So Paul instructs them to live where God called you. Understand that you weren't just born by accident. Your parents are not the parents of an accident. Your parents were sovereignly designed by God for you to be born there. Think of all of the generations that we could have been born in. God sovereignly designed us to be born in what? This generation. This generation. And so stop wishing that you were in the first century when you could have done this and done that, walked in the footprints. I hear people say, I wish I could have walked in Jesus' footprints. Why? I'm not minimizing that. But be content with where you are now. Learn to love life, what? Now. This is no accident. This is by God's design. Each Christian is to remain. I need a little help, Darren. Each Christian is to remain in the condition in which they were saved unless God reveals a change. Now, stay with me here. God is not denying the fact that some things change, but you need to be content unless he tells you to change. You get it? Look at verse 20. You got 1 Corinthians 7? Verse 20. Each of you should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a slave when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, you see it? Avail yourself to the opportunity. You see what he's saying there? For he who was called in the Lord as a slave is a freed man of the Lord. Yeah, you got it. You got it. Likewise, he who was free when he was called is a slave of Christ. Oh, the kingdom living is an amazing thing, isn't it? Amazing thing. And the point is this. God can provide a rewarding, a meaningful, and a purposeful life filled with opportunities regardless of your racial or social status. That's all I'm trying to say. You get it? So, live life where God called you and get the most out of it. Get the most out of it. Stop wringing your hands and live. Live. And stop wishing your life away. The last thing is that he comes right back to the same point. Why, Willie? Why are you saying this? Because you were bought with a price. You were bought with a price. Look at the verses. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition you were called, there let him remain with God. Amen. So for the second time, Paul uses this fact to motivate a lifestyle or a way the believer can glorify God. Right? In this particular situation, we're to be content racially and socially in the life that we live without the internal warfare that goes on inside of worldly people. Amen. Paul said, I have what? Learned to be content.
Yes.
You have to, this is, contentment is a learning, as a learned process. You're not saved with it. You have to learn it. Learn it. Work on it. When you see that envy and that jealousy and that consternation and that warfare happening, you got to deal with it within you. That's the conflict going on within you. You see? Why, Willie? Because you were bought with a price. It needs to be done. Yes? It needs to be done. Every believer can be content and have genuine joy when you know you are living where God called you. Whether single or married.
Amen.
Yeah? Whether parents or no children. Whether wealthy or not wealthy. Whether healthy or not healthy. Whether educated or uneducated, you see? Male, female, Jew, Gentile, slave, free. You know all of the categories, all of the statuses that can come about. God said, be content.
Yes. where you are. Because I'm going to give you meaning there. Why? You're a temple and God is there with you.
Amen.
Y'all remember Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego got uprooted from their whole society. And you would think, if anybody should be discontent and just thrown off balance, it should be these. And, but what? God was there with them. Remember, we think of a Daniel. They thought they could intimidate, bully him by throwing him in a lion's den. Did it work? No. Because he understood this. It didn't work for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why? You know, they didn't understand what we understand. That's the reason we ought to be even more faithful. Yeah? We know we've been bought with a price. They didn't understand this. Oh, my. Live your life to the fullest. Stop wishing you were something else and that your situation was different. In the first and other centuries, human slavery was a reality. Paul is saying, you see where he says, do not become slaves of men? In the first century and other centuries, slavery was a reality. But particularly in the first century, and it happened down through the generations in our own culture. A freed person could go back into slavery because there were benefits, you see, working back in the owner's household, you see, doing their books or, you know, doing things and quote, to buy your freedom. But God says, you just be content with where you are. Don't try to manipulate your status in life. Let me show you the plans I have for you. Let me guide you. Y'all remember Philemon? You remember the story there? You know, before he was saved, he thought he had to what? Get away from the master. It's the only way I'm going to be free. Once he got saved, what had happened? He understood I need to go back. That's where God wanted me. And Paul had to tell. He had to instruct he's a different man now, right? He's a different man now. Receive him as a brother. Receive him as a brother. And so, this is a wonderful thing. Now, the thing is that this oppression that he's talking about can happen in all venues of life, you know? People have oppression in marriage. They have oppression in employment. And so, he's saying that if you're in this oppressive situation, don't try to manipulate your way out of it. Let God show you. You see? Because there are many people in marriages where God says, I'm going to give you the grace to make it through. Yeah? I'm going to give you the grace to make it. It's not ideal. But what situation is? You got it? So, with that in mind, I simply want to close by saying this. Believers are to glorify God in our bodies and in our calling or our status in life. And we are to do it what? Willingly and joyfully. Why? Because we've been bought with a price. Now you notice this. Paul never addresses what it means to be what? Bought with a price. He never does. Why is that? Because the people he was writing to understood, were believers. They understood. They already knew what it means to be bought with a price. They already understood that though salvation is free to us, it was costly. It was costly to our God. God the Father gave his Son
God the Son gave his what? Gave his life that we might be free. That we might be free, that we could be purchased. He gave his life on Calvary. For God so loved the world that he gave his what? Only, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him would not what? Perish, but have everlasting, have eternal life. Romans 6, and the wages of sin is death, but what? The free gift of God is eternal life. Yes, free. But it was costly. Never, never minimize that. Every believer knows that the death of Christ satisfied the wrath of God for our sins and bought our freedom from slavery to Satan, slavery to sin, slavery to the flesh and this world. Bought our freedom. Because we have been bought with a price, we are now free. Free to do what? Free to love God and our neighbor. Free to serve God and each other. Free to forgive and graciously and give generously. Free to live joyfully. Free to love life and have good days. Free to give thanks in all circumstances because you know this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We're free to rejoice with joy inexpressible and filled with glory because God has done it. Free to bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Free to forget none of his benefits. Free to do that because I know what he's done. Pardon all my iniquities. Healed all my diseases. Redeemed my life from the pit. Crowned me with satisfied with loving kindness and just blessed my soul. He's done it. He's done it. He's done it. And we're free. We're free. But we know that we're only free because Jesus made us free. He said, you know what? Know the truth. And what? The truth will make you free. In that same little section, I think it's John 8. He says, so if the Son, what? Sets you free, what? You're free indeed. Isn't this good? This is the gospel. This is the gospel. This is what it means to be free. Not this foolishness that's floating around in the minds of people that have no idea what they're talking about. Don't let them bully you. You're the free one. You're the free one. Doesn't matter what your income is, you're the free one. Doesn't matter what your social status is, you're the free one. Doesn't matter what your race is, you're the free one. You understand this? They may say you're in the minority. Yeah, but I'm free. You understand? I'm free. Not free to do what I want to do. But I'm free to do what my God wants me to do. Yes? So because Jesus made us free, he alone deserves the praise and the glory for it. He alone deserves our dedication. To live for him, what? Who died for us. Because to live is Christ, and what? To die is gain. And if you're not a Christian, you also need to know that you too can be free, but you have to come to Christ. You can't be free standing afar off from him. You can't be free just listening to sermons. You can't be free just reading your Bible. You've got to come to Christ in faith. And if you will do that, if you will come to him in faith, believe what he says, then he'll save you. And you'll understand this life of freedom
and you'll never, never, never turn back again. Father, I want to thank you that you made a way. I want to thank you that you knew where we lived when we were slaves to Satan and sin and partying and money and all of the other things in life. I want to thank you that you knew where we lived when we were living in the darkness and hiding in our sin. And I want to thank you that you found us and bought us. I want to thank you that you brought us out of darkness and brought us in the wonderful light of your Son. I want to thank you that you have dropped the chains, that you've delivered us from the chains of Satan, and you have brought us into the kingdom to serve your Son. So we love you today, Lord. Help us to live like those who know what freedom means. Be with us now as we think on these things. In Jesus' name, amen.